experienced some things, and we did some reading in 1st and 2nd Corinthians that really came alive to us, and we wanted to share some of those things with you. You know, Paul, the writer of Corinthians, was a guy who took a lot of trips, too. He had traveled all over starting these new churches. He had visited this place in Corinth. We had started this wonderful Christian church. But after he left, they still had some questions about how to live out their faith and about some things that had happened while Paul was in Corinth. And so they would write him a letter, and then he would write them back. And as we'll find out, Paul has a lot of stories to tell about his journey, too. And we're going to read a little bit about that today in 2 Corinthians. If you could open your Bible, if you don't have one, there's a stack of them right in the middle. You're welcome to get up and grab one. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's on page 822 if you're borrowing one of the Bibles from us today. 2 Corinthians 12. I think I'm actually going to back up and start in chapter 11, verse 21. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea, and I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Because besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to the visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from being conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul here is writing, let me give you the context of the passage. He's writing to this church in Corinth. And Corinth is here, and Paul has left. You know, he's not around anymore. He writes these letters, but it's not like we have Skype. So Paul really hasn't been involved too much in direct contact with this church. And The people that are in direct contact with this church are pretty flashy. You know, they speak really well. They're actually kind of wealthy because people give them money when they speak really well. And they've got good clothes on and they have really exciting things to say. And the church in Corinth is wondering, now, why should we stick with what you said, Paul? I mean, you're kind of a bumbling idiot when you were here and you made some people mad and now you're not even around anymore. And here's these other people and we kind of like them. We're kind of attracted to what they have to say. And, you know, they kind of look better than you did and they dress better than you did. And maybe we should start listening to them. And so Paul says, you know, I don't want to boast. I don't want to be like them boasting about everything I have and how cool I am, but you're going to make me. So let me tell you about my credentials. Let me tell you why you should listen to me. And that's why he tells them about all the times he was persecuted and flogged and lost at sea and close to death. And he even tells them about this strange vision that he had. But he doesn't want to tell them too much about this vision because he doesn't even want to admit that it's him who had had it. What about boasting? These kickoff Sundays feel a little bit like boasting to me. I feel like I'm coming to them and I'm this football quarterback at the beginning of the season. And regardless of last year's record or how many seniors graduated or this grueling schedule that we have coming up, I've got to come to it with extreme enthusiasm. We're going to win. Just wait and see. This is amazing. What are our expectations for this year? When we hear about all these things going on, prayer groups, small groups, mission trips, youth groups, serving opportunities, the stuff that's happening in Coit, the grants that we've received, what are the dreams and the visions that we are creating there? What do we hope Monroe and this community will look like 9 months from now? There was a time this summer when we were driving. In all, we drove about 5,500 miles in our minivan. And so we were somewhere in the middle of Wyoming. Now, if you've ever driven down the interstate in Wyoming, you know that you really don't know where you are. You're somewhere in Wyoming, and you just have to keep going and hope that Cody is somewhere at the end of that. Because even as you're driving down the interstate in Wyoming, I am not kidding about this, there are exits to nowhere. Like, it'll say exit 244 coming up, and you're driving, and here's exit 244, and it's paved for about 20 feet, and then it just ends up in a field. There's nothing actually there. So Henry would say, well, those two farmers get to use that, you know? And we're driving down Wyoming, and I'm thinking, you know, this little minivan, it's kind of, what year is it again? 90-something, 9800 and some thousand miles on it. It's doing pretty good, you know, and I'm riding pretty well. We fit all of our stuff in it amazingly. This is going well. Until the check engine light soon comes on. We're in the middle of Wyoming where there are exits to nowhere. We drive and we drive. And, you know, if we were at home and the check engine light soon comes on, we know what to do. We go down the street to Pep Boys and we walk in and we say, my check engine light is on. And they come out with this great little device that plugs right into your car and it says, oh, your check engine light is on because your catalytic converter is, you know, breathing in too much oxygen or something. But out in the middle of Wyoming, there is no Pep Boys and nobody to help us. Sometimes we're doing just fine. Things are going so well, and we start to feel kind of boastful. We're so proud of ourselves and the way things are going and the things that we're doing. Look at all the programs we have at our church. Look at how many people we're serving in the neighborhood. Look at about our recent church growth. But then something happens. The finances run low. The attendance drops. Leaders step down. And we're reminded of all the ways that our fantastic plans can fail. A thorn, Paul calls it in verse 7. To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. We don't know what Paul's thorn was, although commentators speculate on everything from stuttering to physical illness to some person that just kept bugging him and wouldn't stop. Whatever it was, he came and he begged God to please take this away. When we were in Glacier Mountain, there's one road that goes through Glacier. It's called Going to the Sun Road. And you can go east to west on that. And right in the middle, it goes through Logan's Pass. There's a visitor's center there, and you can get out. And there's a hike behind the visitor's center that goes back to Hidden Lake. And that was going to be our plan for the day. So we took the wonderful bus system that they have, and we get dropped off at Logan. And as we're driving up, we realize that, you know, I wonder if this hike is going to work today because I can't exactly see 10 feet in front of my face. It is so foggy. But we go anyways, and we get out of the bus, and we go through the visitor center and out into this path. And we start hiking this path up the mountain to Hidden Lake. But as we're hiking, the fog is coming in, and it's enveloping us. When we look around, we don't really know what's out there. We don't really know what's 20 feet in front of us. In fact, we're imagining that we're in the middle of these big, gorgeous, beautiful mountains, but we really have no idea what they look like. We hiked for a while and through some snow and things, and we finally sat down at like a pond, and we had a little snack there, and some people were coming from the other way, and we said, "So did you get there? Did you get to Hidden Lake?" And they said, "Well, we think we were there, but you couldn't actually see the lake because it was so foggy." And we decided to turn around at that point. I wish that God could have taken the fog away so I could have seen where I was going, so I could have seen the things around me, so I could have understood a little bit better where I was in the middle of those mountains. There are things we wish God would take away. Paul's thorn. Things that keep us from knowing what's going to happen in the future or even giving us a little bit of stability in our lives. But Paul tells the church, this is how God responded to his request to take away that thorn. "But God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" The weakness keeps us humble. It keeps us relying on God. It reminds us whose power it is that makes our service in the community really worthwhile. It reminds us whose love and whose grace really reaches out to transform people's hearts and lives. When we come to a situation and we are weak and we are broken, with seemingly no way out, it is then that God has a chance to show his power, and we won't mistake it for our own. And we know this is true because God promises that his grace is sufficient for us. Some translations say, "My grace is enough," or "My grace is all that you need." For in your weakness, God's power shines through. Jesus Christ provides the best example of this for us. Before he died, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, and he prayed and prayed that God would take away this thorn, this death sentence that he had. But in the end, he said, "Father, it's not my will, but may your will be done." And God didn't take away that thorn. Jesus was crucified on the cross in an extreme picture of weakness. As the soldiers and the crowd were there taunting him, "If you were really God, you could get off. You could just come down and save yourself." What a picture of weakness that was. But it was through that weakness that God's power was shown all the more in Jesus' resurrection 3 days later. And not just in Jesus' resurrection, but in the chance for our own resurrection too. Because God is, through God's power, he has overcome death. It's that grace that is sufficient for all of us, to cover all of our brokenness, all the weaknesses, all the thorns in our lives. What does the brokenness and the thorn look like in our lives? Is it physical illness, emotional or mental illness, broken relationships, mistrust or jealousy, lack of finances? What can the thorn look like in the church? When we were in Yellowstone National Park, we began by only hiking hikes that were ranger-led, mostly because we were scared of the bears. And we figured the rangers carried bear spray, and bear spray is like $50, and I didn't want to buy one. So we were, we'll go with a ranger. And there was a scheduled hike to go up the Elephant Back Trail one morning. And so we showed up at 9 a.m., and the ranger was there, but we were the only other people there. And why? Well, probably because it was raining. Nobody else wanted to hike Elephant Back in the rain. Most people would see hiking up that four-mile trail that morning in the rain. They'd see that rain as a thorn. What a ruin. Why did they just have to ruin our day? We were going to, it's a vacation day for us. We wanted to go hiking, and it's raining. But my phrase for the summer was, there's no bad weather, only bad clothing. It's good, huh? So there you go. Good, good. And so we went on this hike anyway, all dolled out in our full rain suits and the cover that goes over the bag. Henry's not wearing, I don't know what that is, but. And that hike turned out to be one of my favorite hikes of the summer. The person that was leading it turned out to be the science teacher at Linden Christian School in Washington. And because we were the only people on the hike, we had amazing conversations. You know, these other rangers are telling us about how this world is made and how these glaciers formed this park thousands and millions of years ago. And so I had a chance to ask him and talk with him about, so how do you do that? How do you teach at Linden Christian, which I assume is a pretty conservative Christian school in this Dutch enclave in Washington, and still be a park ranger where we see creation as something that he's evolved over a really long time? And so we could have these conversations. And when we got to the top of the mountain, he turned to us and he said, I have never had the opportunity to do this in over 30-some years as a park ranger at Yellowstone, but let's pray. And so we circled up, and we prayed and thanked God for the amazing creation that he had given us that day, for the things that we were able to see and to experience God's majesty. And we thanked God for the churches that we came from and for the people that surrounded us and encouraged us. It was such a memorable experience. And so we were wet, and we were kind of cold. But the thorn there didn't prevent God from working. So we have those thorns, and we have those weaknesses. We have the brokenness. And it reminds us of our place in this world and God's place in this world. But through it all, God's grace is sufficient to carry us through. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of your grace. And Lord, it's really, really hard sometimes to experience the thorns in our life and to be able to say that your grace is enough. In fact, it takes an extra measure of your grace just to be able to say that. Lord, I pray for the people who are here this morning that just feel overwhelmed by that thorn, for whom it is hard to say your grace is enough because it doesn't feel like that today. Lord, I pray that you will wrap your loving arms around them, that you will hold their hand as they walk through this valley, that you will put people and experiences in their lives that teach them and show them how sufficient your grace really is for them. And Lord, I pray also for all these activities and events and groups and things that we have lined up for the fall. And Lord, we know already that we will experience thorns, that there will be setbacks and disappointments and hardships.
But Lord, we pray that those will be opportunities for your power to shine through. For us to be able to say, look at God and look at the ways that he is working in our church and in our community. Thank you, O Lord, so much for that promise that your grace is enough.